Are you mature enough to look in your past and see the famines through trial and difficulty and health and financial trials and whatever it might be and relational strife? Are you able to recognize that God has used those difficulties to produce in you His very grace?
Hi, friends, and welcome back to Live in the Light. I'm your host, Craig Turnbull, and we're thankful that you've dialed us in here today. If you'd like more information about Live in the Light, make sure you check us out online at liveinthelight, that's LIGHT.ca. Well, we're thankful that you've tuned us in for this teaching. Today, we've been walking through parables of Luke, and specifically the parables that are distinct to Luke. And today, we come to one of the most famous parables of all. It's the parable of the lost son. So we're praying as you walk into Luke 15 today, whether you find yourself in the position of the older brother or you find yourself in the position of the younger brother, we're finding and praying that you all hear the message to come to the Lord Jesus today. So fresh perspective, fresh grace, and we're praying fresh transformation through God's word. Let's go in our Bibles to Luke 15 now, and here's our teacher, Pastor Robbie.
Are you wise enough and mature enough in Jesus Christ to look at your past, to recognize the famines that came upon your land and your life that were actually used of God to direct you to Him, that you understood that you were in need? See, the person who's blessed is the person who receives from God. The person who's blessed is the person who knows they need God. The person who's truly blessed is the person who says, God, you are everything, I am nothing. Here's my life, take it. And you find your joy and satisfaction fully rooted in Him. Why does God allow famines upon our life? Because only in the famines do we recognize we need something beyond ourselves. Are you mature enough to look in your past and see the famines through trial and difficulty and health and financial trials and whatever it might be and relational strife? Are you able to recognize that God has used those difficulties to produce in you His very grace? And are we wise enough to look forward and to say, I don't know what my future holds, but this I know, that the will of God is not promised to make my life easy, but the will of God is promised to make my life filled with Him and joy and blessing. But the very thing He might bring to my life to get all of me on His plan could be a famine of some sort. And so here's this young man. He has all his stuff. He spent all his money and the famine hits. And for the first time in his life, he begins to actually think. Isn't that interesting? How many of us have been brought to the place where we have bottomed out? The guy starts bottoming out. Don't you realize how powerful bottoming out can be? Because what does bottoming out in life do? It gets us to the place where we actually start to think in terms of what actually matters. God is God, we are not. I'm a sinner, I need a savior. There's only one who can satisfy my desires and my longings. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we are emptied of self, the more brokenness starts to flow down into our lives. And the more brokenness flows down into our lives, the more we are aware of the grace of God, and the more we refuse to complain or demand, and the more we're like, here, God, my life, you do it, you do it. That is the beauty. That is the beauty in the grace found in the light that is truly broken. See, he says he began to be in need. There's some here right now. There's some listening. There's some in the foyer right now. And you're here and you're just like, I don't need this. I don't need God. Listen, the day will come where you will. If God's hand upon your life, you'll be brought to your knees. And at that moment, you will realize, I can't do it. I am not God. That is the greatest possible place you and I can get to, is when we know He's the answer to all things. And this is where the younger son, but listen, I want you to hear this. One of the reasons he got there was because of the famine. The very thing we try to run from at all costs is the famine. And that might be the very grace of God flowing into our lives that we would see as we've never seen before. You see, you can't see life itself until you're free of self. You can't see life itself until you're free of self. And this is why Jesus told the story, looking out at verse 15. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Now, this is very powerful symbolism here. Notice the younger son had everything with his father. He had everything in his father's house, but he rebelled. He refused to stay. He lost his life in the pursuit of sin. And now the younger son has nothing. Notice, no money, no food, no friends, no joy, nothing. Feeding pigs was deplorable for a Jewish man, deplorable. But here he is, and so emptied of self, he has so little that he longs to eat what the pigs are eating. Wow. And this right here is the picture of the devastation and the reality of sin. Sin makes such great promises, but delivers on none of them. Sin promises us joy, freedom, and pleasure. But what does sin actually deliver? It delivers slavery and destitution. It makes us like pigs. Spiritually speaking, sin takes us from the penthouse to the outhouse. Listen, every single time. But here's the question. Can you see that truth? Are we able to see that truth of what sin actually does? The younger son started to see it. Look at verse 17. But when he came to himself, some translations say, when he came to his senses, meaning he was not who he was before, but now he's coming to the place he was meant to be. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? And here he says, this is wisdom. This is the fruit of brokenness. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he came to his senses. And see what sin makes us do. Sin really makes us insane. Sin produces in us a level of thinking that when you're saved by grace, you turn and look at who you were or what you were doing, and you're like, what was I thinking? It's like the man who thinks he's going to have an affair on his wife or leave his family, and he thinks this is going to work out great. You're insane. Or like the young couple who says, we're going to get together and we're going to have premarital sex and we're going to live together. We don't care what God says about that. And it's going to be good. What are you thinking? You're insane. That's what sin does. It completely blinds us and deceives us into what is actually true and right. And we carry on like, this is going to go great, man. This is going to go great. Into reckless living, and you squander your whole life away. But the younger son, he came to himself in his brokenness. Brokenness does. He came to himself in his repentance. And he's like, what was I thinking? And he starts to rehearse the reality of truth. And here are the things. Notice his clarity from his brokenness. Notice his clarity from his beginning of repentance. Notice he says, my father's house is freedom. See, even his father's servants have way more than him. So he realizes the very thing I was running from is the very place I belong. Now that's a word for some here today. I mean, I don't know how you got here today, but some of you, you've been running from this place. You've been running from God your whole life. And the very thing that you're running from is the very place that you actually belong. And the grace and the love of God. The son starts to see this. See, brokenness and repentance cause him to see clearly. He says, my father's house is freedom. I tried freedom in a far country. That doesn't work. The very place I need to be is the house I left in the first place. Who's that apply to today? He says, I'm a sinner. See, he sees so clearly, he sees sin. Pride says, you're the sinner. Humility says, I'm the sinner. Pride says, you're to blame. Brokenness says, man, it starts here. Any marriage that's going to last and be strong, it starts with a husband saying, I'm the problem. The wife saying, I'm the problem. Any church, anything. The clarity of repentance and brokenness, it's not saying you're the sinner. It says, no, I'm the problem. He says, I'm a sinner. He says, I'm not worthy. You see, when true repentance is found, you are so grieved by sin, you don't place any stock in self. You just can't, because you're so devastated in the reality of sin. He says this, I'm a sinner, I'm not worthy, I love this, I'll do anything. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So true brokenness is so broken, it cares not for self to the slightest degree. How do you know you're truly broken? When you get to the place where you're so devastated, but in a beautiful way. Brokenness is so beautiful that you're like, in the grace, in the perspective of the love and grace of God, I'll do anything. I just realize I'm a sinner, and the fact that God loves me and has saved me, how dare I complain or accuse God of being unjust or unfair? I would never think of it. It's just, Father, whatever you want to do, just if you accept me, then anything, here I am. That is brokenness. Here's what you got to know. If the cross of Christ is right here and you're standing over here, no one can genuinely approach the cross of Jesus Christ and be proud. When you understand what Christ has done for you by dying a horrible death and taking on the judgment and wrath of God for your place, the closer you get to the cross, the smaller you become, to the point that you will be on your knees and on your face and prostrate on the ground before the Lord Jesus Christ saying, listen, no one can stand genuinely beside the cross of Jesus Christ and make it about them. No one. No one can be filled with pride in that way. Because if you're genuinely beside the cross of Jesus Christ, you are saying, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? That's what brokenness does. I can't believe I'm alive. I can't believe I'm forgiven. I can't believe I'm saved. I'll do anything. I'll do anything. But we're so afraid of that. We're so afraid of releasing ourselves to the Lord because we don't ultimately trust him. And we think our ways are better than his and we're smarter than God. There are a lot of people in this room, you're the time that clenches fists and you hold on for dear life. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. That's not brokenness. In brokenness and repentance, this younger son, he says, I got nothing. It's yours. I'll take whatever you give me. It's yours. Here's my life. Here's my whole life, Father. That's brokenness. Listen, that is the place where life is found. That is the place where joy becomes so overwhelming. You just weep and weep and say, I did not know that life could be this full and this good and this satisfying. Here's what I know as I say that. There are many of you who don't even know what I'm talking about. You've never been in the place where you've been so filled with the grace and the love and the Holy Spirit of God to say, Father, you are my everything and my satisfaction. You've never been in that place, but you can. It's part of what God's calling you to today, to believe that he is everything you've ever been wanting and looking for. He is your full satisfaction. He is your love and joy and peace. He is the one that you were created to worship, that you might have your greatest, greatest pleasure and greatest love and greatest joy, more than you've ever, ever thought of. See, this is what the world can't even hold a candle to the joy and the power and the love and the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what brokenness finds. This is what brokenness does. And look at verse 20 now. And he arose and he came to his father. Look at that phrase right there. This is very important for people in this service right now. Notice. It's one thing to think, yeah, that's a good idea. I should do that. Many of us have been thinking right thoughts for a long time, but we've never done anything about it. See, the son could say, man, I should say this to my dad. I should go back and say, I'm a sinner. I'm unworthy. Treat me with whatever. But if you just think it and don't do it, what happens? Nothing. But he thought it and did it. There are people here, you've been thinking for years. Yeah, I should really get my whole life before Christ. I should really go all in for Jesus. But you've never done it, ever. And so here you are, and you remain in the place you've been year after year after year after year because you've never fully trusted Christ for who he is and what he says he will be in your life. But notice the younger son here. He arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. It's almost like I just picture the father sitting on a porch. Do you have a porch? I have no idea, okay? I just imagine the father each day kind of looking out across the horizon and will this be the day, and just seeing that speck kind of come over the horizon, and he's longing to see his son. He loves him so much. He has not made his son into a robot, but he asks his son and compels him to come home. He is looking for him. Notice, while it's still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Listen, Jewish men did not run in this culture. That was inappropriate, unthinkable to go running after anything. The Father's so filled with love, he says, forget inappropriate, I could care less. I love my son so much, I'm running, I'm embracing, I'm showing compassion, I am kissing him. Verse 21, the son says to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. It's time to eat. It's time to celebrate. Why? Verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I just love this so much. In verse 21, the son has a speech, you see? The son has a speech and he goes into his speech and he's like, Father, I'm a sinner and I'm not worthy. And it's like, that's all the father needed to hear. All he needed to hear, there was evidence of true repentance and brokenness. And from that, when he cuts his son off and just says, quickly, bring everything. It's time to celebrate. It's time to rejoice because my son was lost and is found. He was dead, but now he's alive. And the father says, enough, son, I heard enough. I love you. He embraces him. And there's that incredible moment and the portrayal of God's grace upon his children. Notice the father says, bring a robe, indicating the status of importance of his son. He says, give him a ring, indicating the sonship that he belongs to him. He says, put on shoes, indicating my son's no slave. He says, kill the fattened calf, meaning it's time to celebrate. See, the father is doing this is the grace and mercy and love of God. He's like sonship and status of importance, and he's no slave, and it's time to celebrate. The love of God meets this son, the love of the father meets this son in a way the son can only imagine and only dream of. It's time to rejoice. My son is home. And just consider the condition of the son. He would have been dirty and disgusting and wretched and literally looked like a pig. But the father doesn't care. This is the grace of God. You're here today. You say, yeah, but Robbie, I have so much sin. I have done such horrible things. Welcome to the club. No, if you knew. And see, God does not care what you've done, where you've been, or who you've been. His grace is big enough to take you exactly as you are, just as the father embraces his son, and his son would have been a horrible mess, but he kisses him and embraces him, and instantly in that moment of grace and love, get the robe, get the ring, get the shoes, kill the calf. And that's what he says to you today too, as you truly turn to the Lord in repentance and brokenness, and you watch the love of the Father meet you where you are, and you see if you're disappointed in the end. The Father runs, and without hesitation, listen, without hesitation, no debate, no discussion, no analyzing the moment. Quickly, may all my love be upon my son. And I want you to see this too. Everything the son was searching for in the far country, he ended up finding right in the home of his father. Notice this. He found clothes, jewelry, friends, food, joy, family. Listen, the greatest thing that we all long for, he found love. Everything he went off to find in the far country, he ended up finding right there in his father's home. What is that, loved ones? What is that? Look right here. What is that? That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We spend so much time trying to find ourselves apart from God when the very offer of life itself is found fully and completely in the Son of God. That is the gospel. Always remember, unbelievers here today, the Lord Jesus Christ says to you, my child, it's time to come home. Stop running. It's time to come home. Come home. Come home to where everything you long for will be found in the knowledge and the inheritance of becoming a child of God and the inheritance of Jesus Christ. And even for believers here today, we're so tempted to put so much stock in this world, clamoring for money, wanting more stuff, spending so much time and energy pursuing that, which in the end adds up to zero, nothing, zilch. Just remember, remind yourself, the moment the trumpet sounds, Jesus Christ returns, and you see your Savior, Jesus Christ, face to face, you're not thinking about now. You're not thinking about your car. You're not thinking about the next paycheck. All you're thinking about is Him and His glory and His majesty and His love. We think this world is so long. It is not. Convince yourself it's short. Convince yourself the day is coming so soon. It feels long. It's not. When the trumpet sounds, Christ returns, all of eternity begins. And there we find out why we truly live. And the moment you're in the glory and the presence of your Savior, Jesus Christ, you're not thinking about this earth. You're not thinking about, oh, I wish I would have done. No. Your only thought is, I belong to Jesus Christ. He saved me. He loves me. And I will never, ever leave His side ever because I am His child. So here's the maturity. Again, I try to say this to you a lot because we need to hear it every day. Live now in the reality of what will be true then. That's the truth of our future. Let's live like that now. The younger son is starting to understand the very thing I wanted is what I find in the house of my Father. We're here today, you've been running again. It's time to come home. It's time to come home. It's time to give up. It's time to repent. And it's time to see your Father with arms fully extended, running towards you, to embrace you and love you. See, I'm not worthy. You haven't heard then what's been said. None of us are worthy. That's the point. Jesus Christ makes us worthy in Him. The younger son, reckless, repentant, redeemed. And we can't treat this parable justly without now seeing the older son briefly. Here's how I want to label the older son: jealous, judgmental, and jury's out. The older son was jealous, judgmental, and the jury's out on him. Look at verse 25 right now. This is pretty amazing. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and said, hey, what's going on here? In verse 27, he said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Notice the brother's first response, but he was angry. What is that? It's not good. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, father, these many years I've served you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, that's important, when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him, exclamation mark. And he said to him, son, father says, you are always with me and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is a very important transition in the story. We go from external rebel to now internal self-righteousness. Listen, both are lost to God. Both are lost sons. Whether you're externally rebellious or internally self-righteous and religious, both are lost. Notice the older son in verse 29. Notice he testified to virtue. He's like, hey, dad, I've worked hard, man. I've worked hard. I pursued obedience. I haven't brought disgrace to your family. But this is what's so critical. The brother had all this law in his head, but no love in his heart. At the first sign of his brother's return, the older brother experiences what? He experiences a jealous rage. He's indignant with the father. He complains to the father. He accuses the father. What's that? That's no love, no love. He's filled with envy, bitterness, a calloused heart, and unforgiveness. What is that? That's no love. He did not and could not rejoice in grace. Why? Why? Because all he could focus on what he had not been given. What is that? That's a total absence of love. It came to the point in verse 30 where he referred to his brother as this son of yours. What's up with that? It's not love is what is up with that. Love must be very, very careful. The deceitfulness of sin. In the very pursuit of righteousness, we can miss out on relationship. The older brother had such a desire for obedience, yet he missed the two greatest commandments that Jesus so clearly taught. Love God, love others. You see that? He was so concerned of his own righteousness, he failed to love his father and failed to love his brother. The two most important things that we are called to do, that he was called to do, he wasn't doing. which proved then where his heart wasn't at. Now, without question, Jesus is telling this part of this story for the Pharisees, the older brother of the scribes and the Pharisees. Loved ones, watch out that we don't become the same. For some of us, we resonate deeply with the younger brother. For some of us, we're going to start resonating deeply with the older brother. And for most of us, it'll be a bit of both. It was for me. Where's the older brother in us? Because watch out for this within your life. He was self-righteous, proud, stubborn, jealous, envious, self-centered, and he was just plain angry. Question. Where in your life are these things being seen? What relationships in your life are you prone to self-righteousness, jealousy, bitterness, and envy, and just plain anger? You know, for almost all of us right now, I could say one person's name that is in your life. And the moment I say that name, there'd be a twisting inside. There'd be a tension that will be created. There'd be a feeling and a rush of bitterness and anger at the mention of one person's name in your life. What is that? It's not love. You have to figure out what that is. Is that older brother? Probably. Here's what you got to know, man. When we're like the older brother, it kills our joy. It absolutely kills our joy. It kills our love. Notice within the older brother, his brother just came home. His brother, who was possibly presumed dead, he's at home. He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all. There's no sense of him coming in to see him. There's no love. There's no embrace. There's no compassion. There's no grace. There's no fellowship. He can't give grace because he's too busy judging. Watch out for that. We become so judgmental. Judgmental judgment kills grace in our lives. There's no compassion. We're filled with ourselves. There's no love. We're so preoccupied with ourselves. We can't show love when we're so bitter and filled with envy and jealousy. There's no love there. He couldn't go in. He couldn't be near. We isolate ourselves in our self-righteousness and our anger because in reality, we hate that person over there. So we put ourselves in this place where we have our own little empire where we are secure and we can play by our own rules and don't come near me because I have no love. And in some perverse way, we will often find joy out of being miserable. That's sick. It is what the human heart does. There's a form of pleasure in our misery of hating everyone around us because they're not us. It's crazy, but it's what happens. It's the older brother. No joy, no compassion, no grace, no fellowship, no love. Listen, God speaks to two people today. He speaks to the younger brother and says, child, come home. Stop running, come home. He speaks to the older brother today and he says, my son, come inside. The father entreats the older brother and says, my son, all that's mine is yours. All that's mine is yours. In other words, why are you envious and jealous? There is no one better than the other. Your brother, he was dead, now alive, he was lost and now found. Won't you come in? And the father says that to you, to me today. Won't you come in? Notice the response needed from both brothers. Both are called to repentance because true repentance will always find grace, always find grace. And that's one of the most important parts of this parable. The Father's love is extended to us today, whether we've been running or whether we've been standing in judgment. The Father says, come home, come inside, receive my love. And let brokenness and repentance begin to bear the fruit of awesome joy and incredible fellowship in the Holy Spirit that all results in the glory of God.
Wow, well, a strong word from God's word today and a message of hope for all of us today. We pray that you receive that from the Lord today and your hearts are encouraged by that and you face this day delighting in the hope that's found in the Lord Jesus. And loved ones, just a reminder, we would love here at Living the Light, we would love to hear from you if God's been moving in such a strong way, maybe even just today, providing you with that great message of hope. Our phone number is 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's 1-844-22-LIGHT. Or you can reach out to us via our website at liveinthelight.ca. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the